It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
And welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of the 20 by 20 Programs podcast with you on a Monday night, right before Monday Night Raw at the time of this recording. And trust me, there's a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the new Raw set. If you haven't checked it out yet, it is quite interesting. Almost looks like a quarter pipe. We'll get to that, of course, in a little bit. But in the meantime, and in between time, I want to get to what happened over the weekend with Death Before Dishonor. Because trust me, a lot of great things happened, especially night one. I caught up on that over the weekend. Haven't caught night two just yet. Trust me, there's so much wrestling, it's hard to keep track of it all. But I have a new rating system in place. No longer a star rating. It's actually little four different tiers in terms of the ratings. Your top tier, instant classic, going to be something you need to check out and always kind of look back at as one of the greatest matches in the company's history. And then there's watch it. Just, hey, check it out if you get the chance. It's definitely a fantastic match, but maybe just maybe, you know, don't necessarily, I'm not saying go watch it and enjoy, I'm saying go watch it, go check it out, enjoy it, catch highlights online, and then skip it. And I've got quite a few skip it's in this card, but it definitely was overall a really good way to kind of get things going in the right direction as they near Final Battle 2019. And we're going to start things off looking at the pre-show match between Jeff Cobb, Brody King. It was absolutely a hoss match. Two hosses going at it to get the crowd hot. And this was Cobb's first ROH one-on-one match since Best in the World and King's first ever one-on-one in ROH. And I love how they talked about that a lot on commentary. This was, especially when it comes to Brody King, that he had never had a match in one-on-one action. He had a Fatal 4-Way a while back. But this was definitely something I did not expect them to talk about, but it was great to hear. It made the matches and makes the match mean a little bit more. The match itself, this was a pre-show, is absolutely free on YouTube, and I actually caught a little bit of that early, but then I kind of watched the entire thing and absolutely enjoyed the hell out of it because it was a strong-style match, hard-hitting spots all the way around. Brody King, senton, installing superplex was very impressive to just big hosses going at it. My rating for that is watch a great pre-show match. Did the job, got the crowd hot, and built this crowd up ahead of the main card, which started off with Marty Scurll and Colt Cabana. And I'll say this about Cabana. I love Cabana, but the biggest complaint I have is the fact that it's definitely a typical Cabana match where you see a lot of comedy, and that's not a bad thing at all. But with it being such a high-stakes match, it didn't need to have comedy inserted inside of it. Really fun closing sequence, though, with counters of the crossface, chicken wing into the Billy Goat's curse, and vice versa. Just a really, really fun main event level match, but this started off the show. It's comedy oriented. Would have worked well. Chikara, Marty Scurll, and Coco Bana work really well. It had a lot of technical stuff in it, but it was overall, I'll say this, catch the highlights of it, especially the last like few minutes of that match. It was really fun overall, but not necessarily my cup of tea, especially when it comes to a ROH number one contenders tournament match in the first round. You need to be taking this a little bit more seriously. It's just the context of all that happening. Not exactly my style. Another matchup in round number one, PCO takes down Kenny King. And I have to say this, I was just, the commentary for the most part, I could not get into. It was for two different reasons. One was, why was it such a big deal to see that PCO has music produced by legendary Jim Johnston? It didn't need to be like harped on for minutes upon end. And I enjoyed the match itself between PCO and Kenny King. It was as expected, no disqualifications, going crazy. And I think PCO's gimmick has started to jump the shark, especially now whenever he has the electrical current. It basically almost like a Pokemon move where he gets confused. And then he goes the other way on a dive and damn near kills himself. I don't like the move at all. I don't like that kind of stuff. It seems it's jumped the shark at this point. I like PCO, but sometimes it's a little bit too much. But he beat Kenny King. I'd recommend you catch the highlights of this online. Angelina Love defeating Kelly Klein to become the new ROH Women of Honor champion. And this was a fun one, but it was way too short. I believe it went about 9 minutes. And I feel like ROH is feeling like TNA from 10 years ago, especially with their women's division. Angelina Love, been in the business a long time, and it's great to kind of get that notoriety. But Kelly Klein was definitely building something up. Hopefully in the rematch, which I'll get to in a little bit, is a lot better. But I'll give that rating the first skip it of the night. And then you have probably my favorite match of the night, and that is Jonathan Gresham and Jay Lethal. I was hyped about it right from the jump because both those guys are absolutely fantastic, and it more than lived up to the pre-match hype. Hopefully you were feeling the same way. I recommend you watch this one. Hell, watch it twice because it is just that good. Gresham needs to have a big push, one of the best technical wrestlers in the business right now, of course. Everybody talks about Zack Sabre Jr. Gresham is somebody that you need to keep an eye on, and I feel like a lot of people have slept on that. Meanwhile, the tag team match between the Bouncers beating Silas Young and Vinnie Marcellia in a barroom. It was a barroom brawl tag team match, I guess. Skip it. I can't get into it. The Bouncers is a weird gimmick, but, you know, we're just going to move on from that. The ROH World Title Fatal 4-Way. Shane Taylor beats Dragon Lee and Flip Gordon and Tracy Williams. We get to Dragon Lee in a little bit, but I like the fact that Shane Taylor retained. It makes things a lot more interesting to see what's going to happen with him. And as we head closer to Final Battle, what's his next few appearances going to be like? And then the co-main event, the ROH World Tag Titles on the line, the Briscoes and the Lifeblood face off. And the Briscoes, of course, retain. State of the tag division, a lot like what we've seen with New Japan. It's not as good as it needs to. Not as good as it could be. And as the Wednesday Night Wars begin in the not-too-distant future, it's something that I feel like a lot of people are going to be frustrated about. But I will say this, it was a fun match. I feel like it deserves a little bit more love compared to what I've seen on different websites. I'm giving it the watch it rating. And then the main event of the night, Roosh beating Matt Taven to become the new ROH World Heavyweight Champion. Really fun match. My biggest complaint goes back to the commentary. You had at one point in the match, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman. I'm trying to remember all my people right now because it's been a while since I've watched ROH, and I gave it a chance after reading some stuff on the subreddit Squared Circle. Enjoyed what I saw on there, and then I caught some little clips. I was like, okay, I got to check this out because it looks to be very interesting. But Roosh beats Matt Taven. Our long nightmare of him being ROH champ is finally over, but he's since signed a contract extension. Overall, it's an instant classic match. I'll still say that Gresham Lethal was my favorite, but the fact that you see Roosh become the new world champion, I got to give it that rating. But I recommend turning off the commentary for the last like few minutes because they pretty much spoil what was going to happen. Right before Roosh hits his finisher, they basically say congratulations to the new champion. It's like that was the exact opposite way of handling that because it really let the lead out, especially if you were watching it on TV. If you were watching it live, you didn't catch that. But they weren't done yet in Sin City with them, ROH Death Before Dishonor Night 2 going down on Saturday. Need to check that out, but I'll give you an idea of what happened there. Dak Draper beat Austin Gunn in the Top Prospect Tournament. Joe Hendry won in a squash match. The Bouncers won again, beating Coast to Coast. Silas Young and Josh Woods beat Chris Bay and Slice Boogie. Angelina Love defeated Sumi Sakai and Jenny Rose. Dalton Castle beat Mark Haskins in a tournament match. Jay Lethal took down PJ Black. He advances. PJ Black was a late replacement for Bandito, who wound up being injured, I believe, over the weekend, so he had to miss that match on the card. And then you have Angelina Love and Kelly Klein announced for October 12th in New Orleans. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Kelly Klein saying she's going to bring a friend to negate the antics of Mandy Leone. Who could that be? I'm thinking, presumably, it could be someone like Maria Manic. They've been hyping her up. I haven't seen a whole lot of her in Ring of Honor, but I know she's part of the roster. So that could be something huge to negate what's going on with Mandy Leon and Allure, even though it's the Beautiful People version 5. And then you have Jake Atlas losing to Tyler Bateman of PWG fame. And it was really fun to see what was going on with those two. And then a six-man tag action, Kenny King, Jeff Cobb, and Josh Woods, and Brian Johnson beat Silas Young, Rhett Titus, Joe Hendry, and Cheeseburger when Woods pinned Silas. So Hendry got a little double duty, even though Hendry was a, I believe, dark match. Matt Taven announced he would be remaining in ROH. And then the ROH six-man tag main event was Villain Club beating Briscoes and Dragon Lee. I'd probably recommend checking that out because, again, anytime you have champions in a main event like that, it'll be fun. And other matches that are going to be confirmed now for the October 12th show in New Orleans, the Glory by Honor New Orleans show. You've got Angelina Love and Kelly Klein officially confirmed for that match. It's for the Women of Honor title. And then the final battle, tourneys, semis, and final match will take place on the card. PCO versus Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal taking on Marty Scurll. A fun semifinal matchup. I'm more looking forward to Jay Lethal, Marty Scurll, because that could be interesting because of Scurll's contractual obligations with Ring of Honor, I believe, wrapping up in November. I think they can wind up working that into a big angle and build him up and have him extend his contract for just a little bit longer so he's part of the company whenever you have the final battle card in 2019. Then also, I believe this is going to be your main event, Briscoes versus the Hawks, Luke and PJ Hawks, both from Wildcat Wrestling for the ROH Tag Team titles. That's going to be a lot of fun. But, of course, what everybody's been talking about over the weekend is what's going on with Roosh and Dragon Lee. Were both released by CMLL over the weekend, starting things off. Lee, he was in hot water for participating in the Battle of Los Angeles a couple weekends ago, and they may have caused a snowball effect, and that caused Rush to essentially go against the wishes of CMLL and peaced out. And the official release from CMLL basically states that CMLL has forged the best stars of Lucha Libre during 86 years, characterized by its discipline and seriousness. For this reason, it is announced at this moment that Roosh and Dragon Lee cease to be a part of our roster for not coinciding with the commitment of the company, which honestly I think could wind up helping out CMLL a lot more than it might hurt them, because I think Dragon Lee and Roosh were all going to be on the way out before too long, a lot like what we've seen with stars like Bandido in the not-too-distant past. These are guys that are top dogs, and I especially love what I've seen from one Roosh in the few matches I've seen from him. He's got the body. Dragon Lee, he's looked good in New Japan. He's a guy that could wind up getting a deal with AEW, Impact, even a long-term deal with ROH, or even WWE. There's a lot of different ways he can go about it. Dragon Lee is going to be one of those guys to keep an eye on, along with, obviously, Roosh. How long is he going to hold that title for? We shall see. Obviously, I think what you would want to do is tease the idea of Marty Scurll and Roosh at Final Battle, but then take the belt off of Roosh because he probably wants to go and do his own thing with possibly AEW. But where does that leave CMLL, of course, wanting to have a partnership with Ring of Honor and New Japan? Could this wind up being something that affects that deal long term? We shall see. That's about all I got in terms of the stuff going on over the weekend involving the ROH title and everything in between. Other things that need to be talked about, I think, is without a doubt Monday Night Raw and their new set. And it was unveiled. Somebody actually tweeted out a picture of it. I don't know how to feel about it. It's very weird. It looks like a quarter pipe. Looks very unusual. Everybody wanted less LED screens. And basically Vince McMahon said, I'm giving you all those damn screens. So it'll be wild to see what happens next with the SmackDown set this Friday. Will it stick with the same kind of idea, or will it go differently since Fox is paying this company a ton of money to basically promote their product, excuse me. But it'll be fun to also see what happens with the WWE draft that'll happen next week, which, by the way, in case you did not hear, our podcasting schedule is getting a little bit of a facelift again. and might get more facelifts as the weeks go on. But we're going to kind of start things off with what's going on Mondays. That's a big reason why I'm glad a lot of stuff happened over the weekend, because I could talk about it, is on Mondays we're going to do a pay-per-view review. And if there's not a pay-per-view, odds are we won't have a show on Monday. Tuesday will be a Raw recap. We'll go deep dive into what happened on Monday Night Raw, and that'll be out. All these will be out undoubtedly before each show is out, and that's talking about Raw, SmackDown, or whatever. It'd be before 7 o'clock, essentially. And then you have on Wednesday, I'm calling this Impact Chat, but it might be a whole lot of other different things. It might be another free play show, if you will, or no show at all. It's going to be a weird kind of thing for the next few weeks, because I might just not do one on Wednesdays because of the fact that Impact has not officially started programming at this moment. And then you've got Thursday, AEW NXT. We'll do a recap of that on Wednesday nights, or Thursday nights, excuse me. That'll be a Thursday thing, and that'll come out before 7 o'clock, guaranteed. And then Friday, it's going to be a free play slash pay-per-view preview. I might try and get some guests on to talk about the world of pro wrestling, get some wrestling guests. We shall see. It's definitely going to be a step-by-step type of thing. And then Saturday will be SmackDown Live Review. We will do one on Saturday. That way I can kind of free up some space and not have to worry about it. But again, upload times will vary. This one's actually being dropped just before Monday Night Raw comes out. So, hey, listen to it tonight. Enjoy it. And I'd say recommend you go check out Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor. A really fun show, to say the least. I enjoyed the opening match, and I know the guys, Jeff Cobb and crew, knew I enjoyed that as well. And I'm looking forward to what's going on with MLW as well. I wish I was able to kind of get in on the conversation when it comes to MLW, but I wasn't able to kind of get in on the conference call that happened earlier today. But I'll give you some, might give you some ideas on that in the next podcast on Tuesday. We recap Monday Night Raw, maybe give you a little idea of what else is ahead for the WWE with AEW and NXT. The brawl, the war is about to get started. I'm having a whole lot of fun talking about it with you. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the 20 by 20 Programs podcast. Make sure you subscribe, and you also leave us a 5-star review. If you're in Tokyo, leave us a 6-star rating. Hey, we'll be back